worthy attenders in the diocese, and I use the word advisedly, in the diocese of Pittsburgh. In one diocese after another, dignity is recognized, honored, and priests appointed to provide for confirmed homosexuals. I will not identify the dioceses. Their number is beyond counting. And without mentioning the name, an auxiliary bishop of one of these dioceses. Oh, by the way, did you get a copy? May I see a copy? I'm just the teacher. I didn't get a copy. This is one reason why we're having this course. In the 16th century, when six nations were lost to the Catholic Church, it was the immorality widespread, including immorality among the clergy, countless once believing Catholics said to themselves, is this the Catholic Church? Have I been living in a dream world? Are these the bishops, successors of the apostles? Do I want to belong to this kind of church? Then have the gall to call it the one true church founded by Christ. I sure hope I am clear. And for 28 years, as I keep repeating, my main work for the Holy See was dealing with bishops. Pray for members of the hierarchy. And let me tell you, and be willing to suffer for them, because they need conversion. Am I being videotaped? How someone had better still tell the truth, and I can assure you, and pay the consequences. Question 27. And depending on the number of questions, I would like to answer them all. We might make this the last question. How many questions are there? The question reads, what is the verdict of Catholic morality on such homosexuals? Might pass that box around more. The verdict is uncompromising. Understand, these are the homosexuals that are said to be incurable. But by the way, The word incurable is the language of the church. It's not the language of these people, because they are not sick to begin with. Am I clear? The American Psychiatric Association has removed homosexuality as an emotional or mental disorder. Homosexual relations, is the church speaking, lack an essential and indispensable purpose. The purpose of sexual activity is for married people to cooperate with God in the begetting of children and to express and cultivate their mutual love for each other. And no one else. What a statement. No one else but married people between themselves have a divine right for mutual sexual experience. All I know is that the number of Catholics in our country is diminishing rapidly. And among the reasons is what we've just read, and another reason is this. Suppose we tackle your questions. Is it proper for a chalice to be passed around from house to house, signed out from the parish for praying for vocations? It is highly improper. In fact, I would say, if you want to reduce already the small number of vocations we've got, keep doing this. The book of Revelation, in several places, would seem to indicate how the great majority of souls will be saved. How are we to understand this? Well, I would ask the person, first of all, the overwhelming theme of the Gospels is on how hard it is to reach heaven. I would appreciate if this person can find a quotation from the most difficult book in the Bible to understand, the book of the Apocalypse or Revelation. I'd appreciate a quotation. What value, then, is there in singing hymns or praying prayers in a language you'd understand, namely Latin? Thanks for the question. For 1900 years, no Catholic would ask this question. First response. And this goes back many years. The hymns and the prayers, even they would say be said or sung in Latin, and I know of no exceptions vernacular translations. Secondly, And this you may be surprised at. Say to yourself, I knew I shouldn't have come to Father Hardin's class. Learn some Latin. Hear this. No person understands English unless they know some Latin. Am I clear? There are two parts to the English language. What we call the bread and butter words. The brot and butter words. Which account for about 7% of our English language. 90% of our English language is derived from Latin. The very word language, does anybody here know from what Latin word the English word language is derived? Anybody back there? Pardon me for asking that simple question. Who knows the Latin word for tongue? Lingua. But once you get into the thought level of the English language, about 5% from the Greek, but up to 90%, at least 85% from the Latin. People don't know their own English. Hear it. And I want to say this and weep. Most of the secular universities in our country not only teach Latin, but hear it, have graduate courses, including doctorates in Latin. Now the reason is to understand English. I have taught for too many years not to say, and I repeat, and I include myself first. We are all naturally lazy. All of us, beginning with the speaker. And we are especially lazy in not wanting to use our minds. I know. I've taught too many students. I've tried to ask them a question. I don't say they don't know the answer. They didn't even hear the question. And thirdly, when we pray, who are we praying to? To God. And when we say sing or pray in our vernacular, hear it, please don't forget. The value of our prayer or hymn depends on the measure of the understanding of what we are saying. Let me repeat. The measure of the merit we gain from either praying or singing depends on the understanding we have of what we are praying or singing. Let me tell you, many people, I won't say most people, but I want to, will be praying or singing in the vernacular, don't really understand what they're saying. The meaning we'll give to those words are the meaning they get from, well, television or the Detroit Free Press. you're praying to God. The homosexuals allowed in the military of the Roman Empire. I'll have to check it out, but I don't think so. I did tell you, didn't I, about the lesbian women, didn't I? In pre-Christian Greece, they were rounded up by the Greek police and sent off to the island of Lesbos and military control outside the island so none of those lesbians would get back into the country. And that was pagan Greece. What is the best translation of the Latin? For example, etae missae est. Well, go, the mass is ended. Etae means go, plural. Missa est, the mass is finished. Have you heard of servant theology where the priest receives the communion last after the parishioners? Yes. There are two kinds of idiocy. Idiocy as a sickness or disease, and idiocy as a cultivated way of living is the second type of idiocy. Prior to the final judgment at the second coming of Christ, what is the status of those souls that will not be saved? Are they already in hell? If so, how is this just for those who died thousands of years ago? Command to those who die just prior to or at the second coming, they would have been in hell much longer than others. When I receive questions like this, having taught Jesuits for so many years, I'm not sure whether this is being clever or whether it's being sincere. I will use my charity and assume it's being clever. Some homosexual authors have gone back in history and claim prominent individuals as their own. One I've read is Leonardo da Vinci. Please comment. Leonardo da Vinci was not, or Leonardo, a homosexual. By now, the homosexuals, especially those who profess to be Catholics, include saints, canonized saints, among their, shall I say, clan. What happened to St. Joseph's body? Well, all I know is it was buried and we don't know where it is. Now, there's one first century person whose body we know where it is. Who is that? Peter. Yeah, really two. Pardon me. Two first century persons about whom we are sure their body is. Who are the two? First, well, these are human persons. Human persons. Mary. Your body is in heaven. Another human person. Peter, years of study have proved, And the body of St. Peter is now under St. Peter's Basilica. It's Peter. Now, as a person possessed by the devil, freely allow the devil to enter their soul or body. It depends. Two kinds of people can be possessed. Those who stupidly engage in some kind of satanic activity. And then they will be possessed by the devil and will be responsible for their condition. So, yes. And this is why I've told people never, and the word is never, talk to or with the devil. Never. And that's why the church, as you know, over the centuries, even identifies who alone may and therefore should exercise a possessed person. A priest, and the priest must be furthermore authorized by the local ordinary or bishop. However, the devil can at least obsess, if not possess, an innocent person. Not the Curia of ours, for years, was obsessed by the devil. In other words, obsession is outside of us. Possession is within the person. Do you consider yourself a theologian or a teacher of theology? Gee, thanks for the question. I believe I'm both. In fact, my dear friend who asked this question, only a theologian should teach theology, and he or she better be a Catholic, pardon me, a Roman Catholic, pardon me, a truly Roman Catholic theologian. Did Mary die in Ephesus? If the question is regarding the place, this is the traditional place. Our Lady was assumed into heaven. Whether she died or not, remember, we answer that question. The church commonly teaches that Mary did die, not because she had to, but because she wanted to be like her divine son and chose to die. How many physical bodies are there in heaven? Well, we are sure of two. The physical body of Christ and the physical body of Mary. And of course we're hoping and praying that one other physical body will enter heaven. Can you write and print a Catholic IQ test, especially on the Eucharist? Yes, I can. Thanks for the verb. Now, I do have a Catholic IQ test, but not just on the Eucharist. It's 100 questions. And it reveals whether the person really understands his or her faith. I'll give some thought. First of all, try to find the other Catholic IQ test. And I'll think more about a Eucharistic IQ test. Washing of the feet. Ceremony on Holy Thursday. Should it be done? It's part of the ceremony. Yes. Should both men and women participate? No. And by the way, there are some Protestant religions that consider the washing of feet as something which Christ instituted and which they do regularly at their church services. Where was Mary's Dormition? Or Dormition, as you know, is the Eastern Christian term for Mary's Assumption. I heard on EWTN there was a church of the Dormition where they say Mary died across the street from the upper room of Pentecost. Well, there can well be a church of the Dormition. And as you know, the name does not necessarily mean that from what place Our Lady was assumed into heaven. But we're not sure. So, it is beautiful and edifying to know that this was on EWTN. Because, I presume, there is such a church. And across the street from the upper room of Pentecost. And I think I should share this with you. I've never been to the Holy Land in body. I do not travel in the most sacred places for visits, only when duty tells me to. The media have promulgated many attacks on Catholic faith and morals. How should we react? Avoidance, confrontation. Well, avoidance in one sense. On the other hand, how can you know what to defend in your faith unless you know what in our faith is being attacked? In fact, that is why God permits errors in the faith, to inspire those who believe to, well, strive to understand their faith, to cope with the error. And in today's world, the errors, some of them, are very intelligent. So, confrontation on occasion may work. But, and I had somebody look it up in the dictionary just the other day. Is there by any chance a dictionary in the room here? Would you mind looking up? Pardon me. Look up this word. See, it may not be in that dictionary. The word Jesuitical. As Jesuit, and I see, yeah, Jesuitical. Not there. I'm not surprised. But big dictionaries have it. And the dictionary that somebody looked up because I asked them to, sure enough. Jesuitical, of course, belonging to the Society of Jesus, semicolon. Practicing intrigue. Jesuitical has entered all large English dictionaries and coined by the enemies of the church. Pray for us members of the Society of Jesus. How do you cope with these widespread attacks on Catholic faith and morals? You outsmart them. You do everything you can to understand where the thinking of the one who attacks a Catholic doctrine, how does he think? What's the foundation of that person's thought? Because unless a person is totally insane, all thoughts have a foundation. That foundation can be either the truth or error. Am I clear? Find out what the error is based on. And over the years, especially in teaching both Protestants and 5 years at Western Michigan University, most of my students were not Catholic. And you can't imagine the hodgepodge of errors. I say hodgepodge, never thinking through. So you find out how intelligent is the person who is attacking Catholic faith and morals. If they attack Catholic morals, find out whether the person believes in a free will. If they attack the Catholic faith, find out what faith a person has. You may be surprised. And all that person believes in is the Detroit News and Free Press. And remember, don't forget, the only unbelievers are those who are totally insane. Am I clear? Every sane person is a believer, period. It all depends what they believe. Find out what they do believe in. And you may be surprised, even shock them, to realize what they really believe in. And by the way, when you find, for example, in reading or in the media, things you read or things you see which attack the Catholic faith, be sure that you sincerely strive to, in your own mind, to respond intelligently to that attack. Don't leave error on the mind. Am I clear? Unanswered. Unanswered error on the mind is the seedbed of giving up the faith and becoming a moral pervert. I think I should say this when I leave for the grotto, say in the morning, the Jesu rectory where I live. And generally, there is just outside the door the morning paper. Or this morning, just real thick. And this I do consciously over the door, and then, if I've got bags with me, I've got to watch myself. But I mean, I cook it too hard, but just kick it. And I'm not being funny. I think I've quoted on some occasion Marshall McLuhan's statement, "The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth." The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. Unquote. The greatest analyst of the modern media in our day, the Canadian convert, McLuhan. What do we tell people who say, why not a married priesthood? They used to be married. Were they celibate? Well, the basic reason for a celibate priesthood is that Christ himself was celibate. As apostles, those who have been married, the church's tradition teaches, then provided for their families and lived a celibate life after Christ's ascension. In other words, a celibate priesthood began with Christ and the apostles. By the year 325, the Council of Elvira, E-L-V-I-R-A, first council which made celibacy mandatory for the priesthood. Are there, besides what I've just said, Christ and the apostles' example, good reasons for a celibate priesthood? There are. I was teaching at the high school here on 7 Mile, U of D High School. A Lutheran lady that I knew her well, wasn't yet ordained a priest, came to see me for advice. So I gave her what counsel I could, and then I asked her, and she was a good Lutheran believer. Haven't you shared this with your Lutheran pastor? I'll never forget what she said. No. Why not? I have to say this because he's married. If all that I hear, his wife, oh, she manages to find out whatever her husband knows. Over the centuries, I know the church has allowed a married priesthood among, for example, those who have been, say, Russian Orthodox, came back to the church, and all the Anglicans, remember, allowed to remain with their wives and children. But one of the great dangers of a married priesthood is that, well, what do you expect? You favor the members of your own family, including nephews and nieces and children and grandchildren. I'm not sure I ever told you this. My mother reverted to the Russian Uniate right after my father died. For 5 years, I was a member of this Catholic Russian church when their priests were allowed to marry. Had 5 children, and 2 of his 5 children were divorced and remarried. I know too many Protestant ministers, too many of them, not to know now the conduct and behavior of their children has much to do with their influence as ministers on the people they are sincerely trying to serve. What is your opinion on total consecration to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort? Well, obviously it is very praiseworthy. However, we're having a mass, by the way, at 5 o'clock in the Common Chapel. However, when his cause, that's Louis de Montfort, was up for whether he should be declared a saint, this is one of the main objections to his canonization. In other words, it depends on how you interpret St. Louis de Montfort. It was his great piety and devotion to Mary. And you know, I want to explain this total consecration. In other words, saints and canonized saints said things which the church need not deny but does not teach as a dogma or a doctrine of the Catholic faith. So, the total consecration with all of its implications, maybe the church would never have canonized Louis de Montfort, may be accepted, but that total consecration, as literally interpreted, is not necessarily a part of the official teaching of the Catholic Church. During the consecration of the wine, how do priests say, so that your sins might be forgiven? Please comment. Well, provided he said the words of consecration over the chalice, and he added the words, so that your sins might be forgiven. So the key word is, might be forgiven. That's the question. For the forgiveness of your sins. Well, I would never advise a priest to use that language, because behind that word might can be a doubt. Whereas, for the forgiveness of sins is the article of faith. My niece goes to general confession and receives a general absolution. What can I tell you? Tell her she is 17. Whatever you can do, persuade, coax, give her, well, whatever she likes, a nice dress, box of candy, anything. Oh, by the way, if you want to, send your niece to me. By the age of 17, she needs absolution. A person receives the Eucharist and believes it is only a ritual. He will not stop going to communion. What can be said or done? He also does not believe in confession, but remains to be a Catholic. Well, he is a Catholic in name only. So, use all the Jesuitical strategy you can imagine. And we are trained for years in strategy as members of the Society of Jesus. Does a priest have an obligation to caution Protestants attending a Catholic Mass for wedding or funeral not to receive Holy Communion? Yes. Especially if they are the majority. Yes. Yes. Bishop, is it Neenstadt? Is that the pronunciation? Or Neenstadt? Recently visited our parish, emphasized real presence at each Mass! Exclamation mark. As you say in Rome, Viva! What is a parent's responsibility toward their adult married children who they know are using contraceptives? Do everything you can to dissuade, and as parents, everything you can to dissuade them from practicing contraception. And having a graduate course in contraception, I could talk well for 3 months on the subject. One of the most devastating effects of contraception is on the children. In other words, once the parents learn better, once the children learn that the parents used contraception. I know this from my years in the priesthood. The children lose that respect and love for their parents, for which nothing then can supply. I know what I'm saying. In other words, contraception is selfishness. And the last thing that children need is to think of their parents as being selfish. And, well, 1 minute to five, you'll be having Mass in the convent chapel as soon as I can vest and arrange for Mass. And to remind you, having class, our next class is on March the 16th, 2 weeks from today. Shall we pray in the name of the Father?